Welcome to the Innovation in Healthcare podcast, produced by Health Innovation Northeast and Northumbria, which supports the health and care system to accelerate innovation to improve people's health and the regional economy. Health Innovation Northeast and Northumbria has partnered with NHS England's Digital First Primary Care Team to deliver Digital Pioneers, a programme that aims to facilitate collaboration, exchange ideas, and support the scale and spread of digital health innovations within primary care. In this episode, Emma Richardson from our Digital Transformations team chats to Andre Young, a pharmacist and clinical lead for Northeast and Northumbria ICB, about how we've supported his innovation for the rollout to digital pharmacy screens and the digitisation of public health messaging. Please note that since this podcast was recorded, our organisation has since been renamed. Any references to AHSN now refer to our new name, Health Innovation Northeast and Northumbria.
Hi everyone, I'm your host today, Emma Richardson. I'm an NHS Innovation Programme Manager, and today we're diving into innovation in primary care. I've got an exciting lineup of questions and an inspiring guest to help us explore this fascinating topic. So Andre joins us as the first primary care innovator to have been supported through the innovation pathway. Andre, please could you give us a picture of what your different job roles have been in the past and what you do now?
Thanks, Emma. Yeah, where do I start? Getting a bit long in the tooth now. So I started as a community pharmacist. So I qualified in the year 2000. And my family at that point in time had a business, a community pharmacy business. So I started life as a pharmacist working for a family independent community pharmacy business. And I did that for a number of years, obviously thoroughly enjoyed that. That's my grounding. That's what I was brought up with. But then we sold that business in 2006, and that led me down a completely unexpected and new path. So I started working as a locum pharmacist, and then I became a branch manager for some of the larger community pharmacy groups. So I started working for those people. I had a really good time doing that. It kind of opened a door on a whole new world for me. So I started managing for a large organization and getting in touch with various departments within that large organization. And that was something new to me, something challenging. And I ended up becoming an area manager for one of those groups. I then switched and got a new job, sort of linking in with hospitals and prisons and mental health trusts, which again was really interesting and new, very challenging, long hours and a lot of travel. But I thoroughly enjoyed that part of my career as well. It was a lot of work, and I did that for 3 years. After a long period of quite heavy work, I decided to take a year out. So I did an MBA at Durham University just for a break. And that was a real turning point, actually, for me in my career. Had a lot of time to reflect. The course itself was challenging from an academic point of view, made some really good connections and had some really good conversations with lots of different people. So I came out of the MBA program with a new thought about what my career should mean for me. And then I started work as kind of within local authorities, so on the other side of the coin, so to speak, so for commissioners. So I worked for local authorities. I got a role within NHS England, working within their networks. And that's led me down a really good path where I've had a really enjoyable period of my career working for the NHS. So I'm now a clinical lead within both the ICB for Northeast Northumbria, but I'm also a clinical lead within the digital primary care team for Northeast and Yorkshire. So that was a long summary of how I've ended up in this place, but it's been really enjoyable. And all of my work has been kind of centered around pharmacy, around the importance of pharmacy. And I'm a real big fan and advocate of what pharmacy can offer patients outside of the really valuable things that we're known for. There's so much more that pharmacy can give for members of the public and for commissioners within the NHS. So, you know, I'm really in sort of honoured and appreciative that I can be a part of that.
Wow, I like how you use your MBA to take a break. That does not seem like a break for most people. So that kind of leads us on to a little bit of innovation. And I think that's how your career has naturally taken you to kind of down that pathway. So if you had somebody who was completely new to innovation, how would you describe that process and how would you describe to them what an innovative idea is?
Yeah, this is a really good question. It's a tough question. I'll just tell you a bit about why I think I'm involved in innovation now. I think I've fallen into it. I think you do fall into things in your career, don't you? You're attracted by some things and you don't like doing other things. So you kind of naturally kind of develop a sort of route that tries to pick up on things that you think you're either good at or you just enjoy doing. I think in my heart, I'm a bit of a rebel. So I think that the reason that I'm interested in innovation is, you know, in a positive way, I think I'm quite critical of things, of the way that we do things. So when I see something or when I do something, if I don't think it's good, yeah, or if I don't think it's the best version of what we could be doing, I'm kind of quite cutting about it and I'll identify, you know, this could be better than that.
So almost playing that critical friend role on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, and you've got to be careful because obviously, you know, nobody's perfect and nothing's perfect. So, you know, I have to, you know, remind myself of that and be cognizant of that. But I think what I try to do is I try to harness that natural critical aspect of me, and I try and use it in a positive way, because I think it is easy to get in for some people to get into the habit of just accepting the status quo and the way that things are. They're always going to be that way, when that isn't necessarily the case. I think going to your question, what is an innovative idea? Well, actually, innovation is critical to everything. It's critical to the success of organizations. It's critical to patient care and safety. If we stop innovating, then we will just become redundant. We will lose our ability to have any utility within the health service. So I almost think it's essential. I would label it as an essential activity for all parts of the NHS and all businesses. It's something we've got to do. And it's basically about finding new ways of doing things or providing things. So it's a new method, it's a new idea, or it's a new product or a new service. And those ideas, sometimes they're going to be good ideas, sometimes they're going to be really fantastic and successful. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're going to fail. And I think you have to accept that. That's part of innovation, isn't it?
Definitely.
You try something new. You design it as well as you possibly can. You make sure it has a very clear mission. And if it doesn't deliver what you wanted it to, then, you know, as long as we've given it 100%, we shouldn't be beating ourselves up for that. We should accept that, because that's part of the process. The successful ideas should remain, and the not so successful ideas should fail. And we should put them to one side. So that's kind of my thoughts on innovative ideas. And I think it applies to health as it does to every other aspect of, you know, what we do as kind of humans on this planet.
Thanks, Andre. You mentioned about not accepting, you know, that status quo if it no longer serves a purpose. I think that is where your project, your pharmacy digital screens project, kind of came in and where that idea came from. So yeah, if you could just give us a little bit more about how you had this idea, how it started, and what you did about it.
Yeah, I think some good ideas, or many good ideas, come from just having a good moan about something. And I think this is one of those ideas where we were just, you know, me and some pharmacy colleagues at a national level, we were kind of talking about the fact that pharmacy, community pharmacy, of which there are 11,000 community pharmacies in England, They have obviously a role in giving out medicines to members of the public. That's our primary role, and it's probably always going to be our primary role. But there's other things that we do. And one of the major other things that we do is promoting better health decisions for members of the public. So promoting healthier lifestyles, healthier choices around various aspects of people's lives. And because it's so important, because it's something that pharmacies do, and because we see so many different people coming through our doors, the NHS has actually built that into our contract. So we are contractually obliged to run 6 public health campaigns a year.
Right.
And we are obliged to run those campaigns for a month in length.
Okay.
Okay, so that's half the year, basically, we're running like really quite pointed public health campaigns. They're decided nationally. And traditionally, they have been leaflets and posters. So you put some leaflets up in the doorway or in the window. Posters up in the doorway and the window. And then leaflets you leave on the counter. And sometimes you get the ability to promote them and hand them to people. But traditionally, that's been quite difficult because obviously sometimes you're talking about things like obesity.
Yeah.
You're talking about sexual health. You're talking about alcohol consumption. It's really quite difficult to pointedly go up to someone who you might suspect needs some dietary advice and say, hey, here's a leaflet on obesity. That is a challenging environment. So the way that those campaigns have been structured, I think it was a frustration and has been a frustration for a number of years for many pharmacists. And I think what we wanted to do was address some of the challenges that we saw with those campaigns. You know, even getting the materials out to pharmacies. If you think about 11,000 sites,
yeah,
6 campaigns a year, that's, you know, 66,000 kind of deliveries a year of just basically paper.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's no good for the environment, and it's certainly no good from a cost point of view. And as I already explained to you, managing those campaigns, timing all of that across 11,000 sites, it's just historically not worked very well. So that frustration, that moaning on about something that isn't right, was kind of the start of our journey with this project.
That's great. And did you find, you know, obviously it wasn't just the one voice, it wasn't just your voice that had this moan and had this unhappiness with the campaigns. It was obviously echoed with some of your colleagues across the, not just the region, nationally as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I remember vividly that conversation. In fact, I created the first specification of what I thought might be a good idea.
Right.
After that meeting on the train on the way home from London.
So it inspired you so much. It had to be done right there.
It's just, you know, it was a memorable kind of meeting. I mean, yes. Obviously, it was one aspect of that meeting, but I just think we had unanimous support. You know, when you get that kind of, you know, there was a lot of energy in the conversation, everyone kind of agreeing with each other and wanting to tackle a problem. I think that's when you know that the idea's got some legs, at least.
Yeah. So from that first specification that you drafted on the train on the way home, how did that grow into the final spec that the HSN kind of helped you take forward?
That's a good question. So we've had, I mean, this is a really good point for just innovators generally, I think. You know, there's no more powerful force than an idea whose time has come. I think that's a kind of quote, or I might have done it a disservice there. But, you know, when you've got a good idea, it's not good enough to just have a good idea. I think timing is really important. So we've had that idea kicking around for a number of years. I think it might be about 4.5 years that we had that meeting. Yeah. So I developed that spec in a very draft form, and basically we just sat on it. We knew the idea was there because myself and my colleague Mike Maguire, who we worked very closely together here in the north of the country, we have always believed that that's been a good idea. But just finding that opportunity and repeatedly talking about it with people, eventually what's happened is I kind of think we got to a point where, you know, just last year or so, we found a home for that idea with the AHSN because, I think there was a kind of an engagement opportunity. We talked about that idea. It fit with the criteria for that particular fund. And then it just kind of went from there. So I guess for innovators, I think the message you know, from me, is you know, you will come up with lots of different ideas. It's really important. You know, when you have an idea and you kind of, you think about it and then you think, I must write that down. And then you just, you don't write it down. You think, I knew I had a good idea, but I can't remember it now. But I think it's really important to kind of hang on to at least the bare bones of your ideas in some way so that you can come back to them at later date, because you never know where you're going to get the next opportunity to make them real.
So you've talked about the kind of the development of the original idea. Let's skip ahead to when the HSN came on, we started working in partnership. How was that process for you in terms of getting that support and linking in with different industry within the region or wider?
So the process, well, I think it went really well.
You know, agree.
We're looking back on it. I mean, it was a lot of work, and it's easy to look back on things and think, oh, you know, that was really, it was really, it went really well. And it did. Obviously, there was a lot of work, but I think working with the HSN for me, this is not the first project that I've taken from, you know, the concept stage through the process, through the development, through the design phase, through the, you know, the engagement phase, and then into implementation. That's not the first time I've done it, but I just think that it was, even for someone experienced like me, or relatively experienced like me, I think it was fantastic to work with the HSN, because this is what you do. And you have obviously the right pieces within this organization to support that. So, you know, the research, I got help to do some research to find out what was already out there. So the HSN supported me with that. That was really useful to kind of get that intelligence from the marketplace to find out what was already out there, whether it would fill the gap or, you know, what providers of screens were out there. The procurement process itself was fantastic. I think we did a cracking job. But again, that was because we worked together. And, you know, innovation can be quite lonely.
Yeah.
So if you're sitting there having to develop all of this by yourself, you know, it's you're never going to do the best job that you could. It's always better to have a sounding board. It's always better to have a group of people with differing views so that you can really home in on, you know, this is exactly what we need to be looking for. So the kind of procurement process, everything from the expressions of interest going out to the screens providers through to the assessment process of the written submissions that we got, then inviting a smaller number of screens providers to come through. I think we had three or four screens providers come to do verbal presentations, and scoring that, and then collecting those scores together and discussing which screens provider to choose. You know, that was all so much easier through the partnership with the HSN and the networks that you're able to put me in touch with, you know, to make sure that this idea is going to have traction when it's implemented. I think all of that worked really well. So yeah, it was, I think it was a really good process, and it was actually really fun as well.
It really was. It was great to be a part of and sit on that panel to interview the different screen providers that came. That was just, it was a good day. So I want to jump ahead a little bit to now we're talking about the screen providers and talk about the content that you put or you decided that would be going onto the screens. How did you decide that? What was your approach for that?
Well, I think from the principle that there's a difference between rolling something out because you think it's valuable and you want to create that value. So for example, these screens, the whole mission of these screens is to provide public health messaging to members of the public, to replace the leaflets and posters. So I think, again, a message for innovators is the purpose of this project was different to the purpose of the actual innovation itself. So we have an innovation that's designed to replace leaflets and posters and to basically positively affect members of the public's health. However, the purpose of our pilot, our test, was to see if we could roll out these screens and to see if we could get the content onto the screens, to see if what the barriers were, what the issues were that we needed to overcome to make sure that we got engagement from community pharmacy, to make sure that members of the public saw the messages on the screens. So it's important not to conflate the kind of core mission of the innovation with the core mission of the pilot. So this was a pilot and this was to kind of iron out all of the bugs. So yes, the hardware and the procurement and installing all of the physical aspects of this project, so the equipment, which basically is professional commercial displays, putting those into pharmacies, yes, that was all kind of important to think about and to commission in the right way. But of course, if you've got those displays in the pharmacies, the content is what actually is potentially going to be leading to the positive intervention. And we wanted to test that we could bring together a really good range of content for the screens. We wanted to learn from that. And importantly, what we wanted to do was we wanted to develop a kind of specification for content to specify what are the minimum standards of content that we will display on those screens, because we wanted to go for a really high quality output from the pilot. So we weren't proposing to custom create content. That would have sucked up too much resource. In fact, we wouldn't have had the resource to do that, because content creation can be extremely expensive. But we knew that there were huge libraries of content already out there, whether it be on YouTube or whether it be on public health websites nationally or locally. We had a lot of comms people, and we spread out, and this is where the network comes in. We spread out our message and made everyone aware that we were running this pilot. And we got a lot of support from the NHS locally, but also from public health colleagues in local authorities. And quite quickly, we started to see content coming through to us, links to downloads and actual content being sent through. And then we had the content provided by our selected screens provider as well. They already had a library of content. So actually it all came together really quite quickly. We did have minimum standards though, and there was a lot of content that didn't make the grade.
Okay.
We wanted to make sure, if you've got screens that are really high, to a high specification, they've got a high resolution, and you've got audio as well, what you don't want to be doing is running a low resolution video, or you don't want to be running an advert that doesn't come across clearly for members of the public or isn't interesting to members of the public. So we developed a really good specification as part of this process. And that actually developed through, the period of the pilot. So for 6 months that I was involved in it, that specification became a real important learning.
So when we kind of take people through the innovation pathway, one of the important hexagons or areas to think about for us is patient and public involvement. How did you think about this in terms of your project?
Yeah, and that is obviously crucial. For me and for the HSN, the patient voice has to be a part of this. Yeah. We were already working with an evaluator, which was an independent evaluator who's written a fantastic evaluation about the project. We were keen to obviously work with that evaluator to make sure that they did include that patient voice. Yeah. So we reached out to Health Watch locally. They were fantastic to work with. So we've actually ended up working with two different Health Watches because they have different localities. So we had one in Sunderland and one in Durham. And they did an amazing job of supplementing the data that we could collect about this. So the patient views, they sent out volunteers and they went into pharmacies where the screens were installed. And they gave us some really honest feedback from their perspective about those screens. So that's been really useful to bring in, I would say essential to bring in. And that was positive as well. They really noticed the screens. Whereas the leaflets in the corners, that had been gathering dust, that not quite so much. So I think the feedback, obviously summarizing greatly, but from those volunteers is that, those screens are highly visible, very bright, positioned in the right areas, and you can't fail to notice the screens when you walk into a pharmacy.
Great. A great outcome for the pilot as well. So what was the feedback from any of the pharmacists or any of the other staff working within the community pharmacies where these screens were installed?
Yeah, I was there for all of the, in the first week after they had been installed, I was there speaking to them. And we got some views from pharmacists in the evaluation. So the evaluation contains a lot more detail, but I picked up from pharmacies and pharmacists and pharmacy team members, they were hugely impressed. You know, even I, when I saw the first screen installed, I'd already seen all of the content because, to be honest, I'd sat there like for 2 weeks looking at it and reviewing it. So I knew all of the content. But it's not until you see it on a commercial display that is really bright and the colours are so vibrant that you realise what a powerful tool that is for promoting messaging. And obviously the advertising in the private sector has known that for many, many years. I think we have still got quite a lot of ground to make up in healthcare. I think we could use this technology and we could use screens and digital media much more effectively than we are at the moment. So there's a big opportunity there for us. And this is obviously one part of that. But the pharmacy team members, obviously, with me, they observed this as well for themselves. They were, you know, pleasantly surprised. The instant reaction I got from many was, this brings our pharmacy up to date.
Wow.
You know, instead of a curled kind of drying out poster in the corner of the window, they had a screen that was displaying multiple kind of messages, one after the other, in a really professional way, moving images, catching the eye of the public. And for them, that was just, well, a sign that pharmacy has finally got with the times and invested in something that a lot of us have taken for granted in other places for many years. So, yeah, really positive reception from pharmacy team members. And obviously from them, you know, I think what we've learned as we've gone through this is those public health campaigns with leaflets and posters, to grab someone's attention does take effort. Whereas with the screen, I think it's had a positive effect on workload within the pharmacy. There's been less need to kind of promote the ideas. It's more of a, well, if you want to, we can have a discussion about it.
Yes. It opens up that area for them to be able to go in and have that discussion because it's such impactful messaging. Or they can go away and think about it. And then the next visit, they can start that conversation.
Yeah.
So what's the next steps then, Andre?
Oh, my goodness. Well, obviously, we're happy with the pilot. We're happy with the results of the pilot. We're happy with the evaluation by Newcastle University. So I guess the next stage for me is promoting the outputs. You don't want to do a pilot where you've, you know, put a lot of work into something and you feel like you've delivered something of value. What you don't want to happen then is for no one to hear about that. And to be honest, that's a real risk for innovation, isn't it? That you do something, you innovate, you create something valuable, but then it never has a real world effect. So I'm going out there now to talk about the project, to spread the word of this innovation. We've worked through a lot of the barriers. We've worked through a lot of the detail. We've got the costs. We've got the impact on members of the public. We've got the feedback from pharmacy teams. We've got the content specification. So we've kind of developed a lot of valuable information that'll be surely interesting to people within the NHS, but also broader than that within public health, because this presents a huge opportunity. And I always like to think of where this could end up. It might be very aspirational, but if we imagine this pilot turning into something in 2 years' time where we've got a screen in every pharmacy in England, well, we've got a footfall of 150 people per day in your average pharmacy, 11,000 pharmacies. It doesn't take much to do the mathematics on that. That could be a hugely powerful tool that can be used to promote really good messaging to members of the public, can be updated in a heartbeat, really, instantaneously. And I think could be a massive improvement in the way that we contribute to the health of people in their local communities, because this, you know, it can be tailored. It doesn't have to be the same across the country. It could be tailored at a local level to meet local needs. So I'm keen to speak about it with people, and keen to promote it, and happy to share the learnings from this pilot.
And it's not just, you know, those healthcare benefits or those public health benefits that we see from the screens. There's also that sustainability and the let's help the planet aspect as well.
Absolutely. It was surprising for me to realise how little power the screens, because when we were doing the work with colleagues to establish, you know, what was the benefit for the environment, the screens have come on massively since, you know, the days of, you know, CRT screen displays and, you know, plasma displays. These latest screens, even the bright ones, they use, you know, minimal power. So even when you're running them for long opening hours, 8 till 6 or 7, actually the power consumption is relatively low. And when you compare that with the carbon footprint that we're trying to aim at, which is basically the leaflets and the posters, both the production and the distribution of those leaflets and posters, it's kind of a no-brainer. So I genuinely think we've learned an awful lot. I think there's some adjustments, some minor adjustments, but I think on almost every level, the screens are a positive change.
That's great. And I'm going to throw you quite an awkward question here. So often people have a lot of misconceptions about what sort of person is an innovator or what characteristics it takes to innovate. What kind of person would you say could be an innovator?
I think anyone can be an innovator. Yeah, I think that anyone can do it. You've just got to... We've all got frustrations. We've all got things that excite us, and we all have ideas. And I think it's about trying to grab those ideas when we have them. I said it before, didn't I? You know, sometimes we have ideas and we have them, and then they just disappear and we lose them. And I think, and anyone can be an innovator. If you have a good idea, first step is to write it down. And then I guess, if you can start collecting your ideas and importantly talking to other people about your ideas, you never know where that's going to lead you, because someone might point you in the direction of somebody who's looking for good ideas. And that's the perfect marriage, isn't it? You kind of bring those two people together and then your idea can become real. So I would say everyone who listens to this, or everyone who's working across the health service, can make a contribution to better services and, you know, higher quality services and safer services for patients.
Fab. But it's also obviously important to remember when you're talking about these ideas that you have to kind of protect them in those conversations so that nobody runs off with them.
Absolutely. That's where the AHSN comes in, Emma.
Well, we try. We do try. So I think that has been such a great conversation to find out about your project, about the innovation side of it, and then about the actual public health side of it as well. So thanks, Andrea, for sharing your insights and your experiences. It's been really great, and hopefully we'll get some more ideas that you've jotted down in your notebook and we can take those forward too.
There's plenty more to come.
Great. Thanks.
Thanks, Emma.
Thank you for listening to the Innovation in Healthcare podcast produced by Health Innovation Northeast and North Cumbria. If you'd like to find out more about how we are supporting digital innovations within primary care, please visit healthinnovationnenc.org.uk/digital-pioneers. And if you'd like to find out how we are supporting innovators through our innovation pathway, visit innovationpathway.healthinnovationnenc.org.uk. We will, of course, provide all relevant links in this episode's show notes. Thank you again for listening.